McGraw-Hill Ascent Audio presents The Burnout Fix. Overcome overwhelm, beat busy, and sustain success in the new world of work. By Jacinta M. Jimenez. Narrated by Joanna Garcia. Publisher's note. In this audio edition, you will hear references to figures, charts, tables and worksheets present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Introduction. The rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Sammy Davis Jr. My story. His physical pulse.
You need to book a flight down to Newport Beach immediately.
My mom's voice was breathless and quick with intensity.
What?
I don't understand, I said.
As soon as the plane landed, the ambulance took him. He's at Hoge Hospital. Hurry. Book you and your dad a flight. There may not be much time left. He's very sick. His heart is failing.
The conversation was brief, direct, and focused. I remember how my heart beat frantically in my chest as I hung up the phone. Before I could mentally or emotionally process what was happening, shock kicked in, and the next few hours became a set of disjointed memories. I vaguely remember going online, booking the next flight out, calling my father, and coordinating with him to meet me at the airport. Don't forget, meet me at Southwest Airlines, Terminal 1, I'd explained. Before we knew it, we had arrived. The next clear memory I have of that day was standing shoulder to shoulder between my mother and father. The three of us looked up intently as the tall doctor in a white coat with kind blue eyes spoke. As he uttered the words, "There is a 45% chance he will make it through the night." My ears began to ring, and again, I could distinctly remember feeling my heart racing in my chest. I don't remember much else from that day. The nurse finally allowed us to go into his quarantined room in the restricted patient area. On the one hand, I desperately wanted to see him. On the other, I was terrified about what I'd see behind the door marked caution and cardiovascular intensive care unit. As I washed my hands and put on the required gloves and mask, I tried my hardest to channel courage by saying to myself under my breath, "Please, God, keep his pulse steady for me." When I walked through the doors, I saw my brother surrounded by countless medical devices, screens, IV poles, and machines. Cords and tubes that looked like jungle vines covering an ancient relic lined the walls and filled the room. There he was, my older brother, an independent and free-thinking soul now barely holding on to life. He was only in his late 20s, yet he had lost his vitality and energy and was no longer fully himself. His physical pulse was so weak. It's funny how out of nowhere life could just turn your world upside down. Not even 24 hours earlier, I was sitting in a bookstore cafe, typing away on my computer. I was beginning to write my doctoral dissertation proposal and was feeling the pressure of getting it right. I had the chief of the Division of Adult Psychiatry at Stanford University School of Medicine as my dissertation chair and, as a result, was having major imposter syndrome and then some. And now I found myself sitting in a hospital waiting room, watching my parents fall apart with worry while we waited on my brother's fate. It was the longest night of my life. My personal pulse. By a miracle, my brother held on, and the next night he did the same, and the night after that as well. We had no choice but to live one day at a time for a while.
Over the course of a few days, the code blue alarm would go off from time to time, and the nurses would frantically usher us out of the room. Still, he hung on. I will be forever grateful to those doctors and nurses who treated us with such care while working tirelessly to keep my brother alive. My brother stayed many days in the cardiovascular intensive care unit until eventually the team was able to stabilize him enough to operate. And after that, he still had a very long recovery to get his heart and body strong enough to travel back home. This is where things became even more complicated for my family. Life had collided with work. My parents were self-employed, running an after-school enrichment program where many children depended on them for their care. If they stopped working, they would have no income, and the medical bills were accumulating quickly. We all needed to pitch in to look after my brother, and because I was the almost doctor in the family, albeit not pursuing a medical degree, I took charge. I stepped up to coordinate my brother's care. I'd always been a straight-A, high-achieving student and wanted to be a hero for my family. I wanted so badly to help my parents who were barely coping with the stress of their ailing son. Always ambitious, there was no way I was going to slow down completing my dissertation. I come from very humble beginnings, to say the least. My maternal grandparents only achieved an eighth-grade education, and my father's family grew up in poverty as migrant farm laborers from Mexico. Here I was, about to achieve something I'd only dreamed of. I was about to be part of the incredibly small percentage of Hispanic students in the United States who would earn a doctorate in psychology. I wanted to make my family proud and show myself that anything is possible if you just work hard enough. I mean, no pain, no gain, right? My plan seemed simple enough. I would continue to move forward on my dissertation while continuing with my behavioral medicine practicum rotations. I'd simultaneously help manage my brother's care, including flying down on weekends when I could. All I had to do was hustle harder and work more. I shortened my sleep time, downshifted my social time, cut down on exercise, and ramped up my work hours. I justified these trade-offs by thinking about them as temporary. As soon as my brother's health improved, I would go back to my typical method of operating. At first, save for events such as eating Thanksgiving dinner in a hospital cafeteria, things seemed to go pretty well. I finished my dissertation and set a final defense date. However, as time wore on, I started feeling overwhelmed, eventually finding myself in an exhausted daze. Where I'd felt enthusiastic and energetic before, now I was mostly just going through the motions. I no longer cracked jokes or stopped in the hallway to join in on water cooler chat with my colleagues. My typical pop out of bed refreshed and ready to start the day feeling had become more like an inner battle of will. Worried that my struggle to keep up meant I couldn't hack it in graduate school, I kept my challenges mostly to myself. I chalked up my malaise to the fact that I'm working harder, not smarter. So, I just needed to work smarter. I optimized my calendar to maximize my output through productivity hacks. I kept my ever-growing to-do list up to date, and I engaged in some serious multitasking, such as listening to books on tape while cleaning the house. I eliminated all things I deemed non-essential for achieving my goals, such as study group time and social commitments, and I also set up a repeatable work and study routine. Try as I might, however, things just seemed to get worse. I started noticing that I was becoming much more easily irritated with close friends and family members. I also found myself watching the clock in my clinical rotation when in the past I'd been extremely engaged in my work.
Soon, I dropped out of world-renowned psychiatrist David Burns's lab, an experience I had greatly anticipated. I wasn't sleeping well, and often felt as if I could cry at the drop of a hat. I just couldn't keep up with my work demands anymore. I felt that I was failing on so many levels. No matter how hard I tried to work, both harder and smarter, I couldn't get above water. It was insidious, and although I didn't see it at the time, burnout was slowly but surely chipping away at me. I was losing my vitality and energy, and I no longer felt fully myself. Although my heart health was fine, my personal pulse was very weak. Part of being human is that at some time in life, you are bound to face hardship, and my brother's tragedy was definitely a major one for me. As a strong believer in having adversity be your teacher, I learned a crucial life lesson. To live a truly successful life, you need more than just grit. It doesn't matter if you work harder or smarter. If you neglect to also nurture a steady personal pulse, your success will be short-lived. It's one thing to be successful, but if your definition of success means achieving at a cost to your personal vitality, I'd challenge you to question your definition. I'm not here to say working harder and working smarter aren't good strategies at certain times. What I'm saying is that in today's always-on and connected world, if you aren't regularly working to engage in a systematic approach to fostering your resilience, aka steady pulse practices, your efforts to work harder and/or smarter will be fleeting. Having a steady personal pulse is not just a nice-to-have or afterthought that only gets tended to when you're feeling run down. In today's world of work, it is an imperative practice to ensure that you can perform at your best. Not only this, personal pulse practices are what will enable you to remain engaged, gritty, and productive over the long haul, in both work and life. Fast forward 2 decades. It took time and help from a therapist to dig myself out of my burnout, but I finally did defend my dissertation. I've since enjoyed a successful career that also gives me a great sense of meaning and purpose. I founded an award-winning positive psychology coaching practice in Silicon Valley, helped build a mobile app for the National Center for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and provided consulting to some of the most influential technology companies in the world. I've been featured as a behavior expert on CNN and HLN and am frequently quoted in Forbes, Fast Company, Business Insider, and other national publications. I was a founding team member of a $142 million venture-funded leadership development company, where I was a key leader in the design of a science-backed coaching methodology that integrates rigorous peak performance approaches with leading-edge technology. Additionally, at this company, I led a global network of more than 1,500 coaches spanning over 58 countries worldwide. Most important, this coaching network has gone on to improve the lives of thousands upon thousands of workers across a variety of industries all over the world. I can say without a doubt that I did not achieve all of this from solely working harder and smarter. I don't believe that those two solutions are enough for modern-day workers. Rather, what has allowed me to achieve success over time and help many other top leaders achieve success as well is my dedication to sustainable success. This is not to say that since graduate school I have never become stressed or been worn down. Believe me, I'm human.
I've had setbacks, which I'll share in this book, but what I've come to notice is that every time I have found myself seriously worn down, overwhelmed, tired, or just running near empty, it was because I neglected to consistently check in with and take care of my personal pulse. The changing world of work. As a psychologist and leadership coach, my life's work has been dedicated to helping people use psychological science to create a fulfilling work and personal life. Over the course of more than 15 years, I've been blessed to have worked with hundreds of people across a multitude of industries. Over the past few years, however, I started noticing that an alarming number of my coaching clients were struggling with busyness and were overwhelmed, exhausted, burned out, and stressed. Increasingly, I began to see cases such as the following. John, a 26-year-old customer success manager who was deemed a high potential early in his career because of his ability to seamlessly and flawlessly respond to customer needs while maintaining a cool and kind demeanor. At first, John was able to effortlessly run from one achievement to the next without pause, while also making time to authentically connect with his team. When John was given the responsibility to cover his division's key global accounts, he began taking calls at all hours of the day. Over time, his performance reviews began to indicate that his customer relationships were struggling and that his team was experiencing increased levels of stress. Additionally, his colleagues were finding John to be increasingly sharp and disagreeable in their interactions with him. When I started working with John, the first thing he said to me was, "Dr. J, I'm not the same person I was. I used to be known as Joyful John. Now, I frequently find myself irritated with my coworkers. I used to love my job, but now I feel indifferent about it and my clients." Keisha, a 35-year-old marketing whiz who had just been promoted to vice president. Eager to show others on the leadership team that she could be a great collaborator and hold her own, she started to make small changes in her work habits. For example, Keisha found herself shooting off a few emails from her cell phone after she'd put her children to bed, canceling plans with friends in order to stay late to accommodate other leaders on the team who lived in different time zones, and immediately saying yes to many of her fellow leaders' requests. Despite being an incredibly gifted leader who was more than deserving of this promotion, Keisha's performance started to drop, and she found herself not only feeling discouraged, but also even questioning herself and whether she belonged in her new role. "Dr. J, I don't understand. I was always able to do it all. I don't get how it happened, but I can't stay on top of my work. I'm utterly exhausted. Each project is becoming overwhelming. I used to be so competent. Now I can't seem to make progress. Maybe I wasn't ready for this promotion after all." Angelo, a 45-year-old account executive who had always prided himself on hitting challenging sales quotas by powering through and holding tightly to the belief that living in overdrive was just a part of being successful in modern-day life. Angelo was known for responding to clients' calls, messages, and texts quickly and thoughtfully at all times of the day. Unfortunately, when Angelo's father was diagnosed with early-onset Alzheimer's disease, Angelo found that he was unable to change his work habits to incorporate this additional responsibility in his life. By the time Angelo started working with me, he was struggling to maintain his sales superstar status and was also failing to build in the time to sharpen his skills and continue to nurture his abilities. One of the first things Angelo said to me was, "Dr. J, I'm so stressed. I'm at my breaking point. I'm so busy keeping my clients engaged and getting deals that I don't have time to learn and keep up with all of our new product offerings and sales pitch strategies. I'm no longer the fun person I used to be, and it's affecting my sales quota." The people and stories are different, but they all share a common concerning trend. Beyond a certain threshold, each of these hardworking, high-achieving individuals had actually found themselves less effective and efficient, eventually resulting in a wavering sense of vitality, energy, and productivity. These stories represent the biggest thing that keeps me up at night out of concern for today's workforce. While the world of work is changing rapidly, we humans are not productively adapting alongside it. Changes such as hyperconnectivity and globalization have created an always-on and always-connected culture that has fundamentally altered how we live and work. But unfortunately, most of us and the organizations in which we work are still clinging to outdated formulas and ideas of what it takes to be and remain successful in work and life. There are many of us, just like John, Keisha, and Angelo, who, whether consciously or unconsciously, still buy into antiquated ideas of work that hype the message that you have to work harder and hustle more to succeed. Often out of passion and commitment to our jobs, we end up putting in huge amounts of hard work and unsustainable effort to become top performers. Over time, however, our success fades as work begins to take an unsustainable toll, leaving us burned out, unhappy, and sick. Yet still, many of us push on, attempting to employ work smarter strategies while rationalizing that success in work and life comes at an inevitable price. Our personal pulse, which over time, literally and figuratively, becomes weaker. Unsustainable effort, whether generated from individual work habits, poor management practices, organizational cultures, or all three, has led to an alarming epidemic of work-related stress and burnout. This is so much so that in May 2019, the World Health Organization even went so far as to officially classify burnout as a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. This social problem has huge repercussions for businesses and individuals, but don't just take my word for it. The numbers speak for themselves. 60% of employees report being stressed all or most of the time at work. A recent Deloitte Workplace Burnout Survey found that 77% of respondents have experienced burnout in their current job. A recent Gallup study of nearly 7,500 full-time employees found that 23% reported feeling burned out at work, very often or always. Another survey shows that 65% of professionals are more stressed out at work than they were 5 years ago. Excessive workplace stress has been estimated to account for a staggering 120,000 deaths each year. It has been estimated that job stress costs the United States economy up to $300 billion every year due to related absenteeism, turnover, diminished productivity, and medical, legal, and insurance costs.
As you can see from these numbers, stress and burnout are widespread. You're definitely not alone. Modern-day work life presents us with increasingly complex challenges and demands at an unrelenting pace. When you add in personal, family, and health considerations on top of the challenges of work, it is easy to feel perpetually overwhelmed. Unfortunately, although you've likely seen a lot of books, media, and articles that highlight the problem of overwork or how to recover from burnout, much less has been written on what people, teams, and organizations can systematically do to avoid it in the first place. We need action, not reaction. Our new world of work necessitates new ways to approach work. Getting to the heart of the matter. Perhaps the silver lining that may be found in this epidemic is that people are finally demanding more from their work. More and more of us are unwilling to idly accept high levels of workplace stress as part of being a working adult. In fact, the 2018 Global Talent Trends Survey found that one of every two employees wants to see a greater focus on well-being at their company. People often say, it's business, it's not personal. But work is personal. People are at the heart and soul of every organization. We are human beings first. Whether we like it or not, we are increasingly spending more time working, and as Annie Dillard famously stated, how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. If you are going to invest one of your most valuable and finite resources, your time, by spending the bulk of your waking hours and life at work, you need to be able to feel energized, vibrant, and engaged while doing it. You deserve to have a steady personal pulse. Think about this. The average human heart beats around 100,000 times per day in order to sustain your mind and body. It's pretty wild to consider how this vital organ hidden in our bodies is working behind the scenes every moment of every day to provide us with life, oxygen, and vitality. Those little pulses add up to a whole lot. Without a steady heartbeat, our bodies soon lose verve and energy and ultimately cannot operate at full capacity. In the same way our bodies thrive when our hearts are healthy, our personal and professional lives are improved when our personal pulse is steady. So what exactly do I mean by having a steady personal pulse? A steady pulse all comes down to cultivating and leveraging a holistic set of enduring human capabilities, things that have stood the test of time and allowed us to survive and thrive as a species for centuries. How we behave, think, nurture our physical reserves, relate to others, and manage our emotions. By intentionally focusing on building a solid set of personal resilience practices, you can operate from the inside out versus the outside in. A work life in which you are constantly reacting to whatever outside stressor is currently knocking at your door will undoubtedly leave you worn down and exhausted. Alternatively, a work-life approach that leverages a central set of personal pulse practices to guide you forward will leave you centered, engaged, and energized. With the advent of increasing innovation and technological advances, the world of work will continue to evolve around us. Ironically, the very thing we need to develop for enduring success and vitality in the face of this constant change is a fixed set of unchanging core capabilities. It is about the fundamentals of being a thriving person, lasting practices you can rely on for years to come. Building a steady personal pulse means putting effort into attending to all aspects of you as a human being. The behavioral, cognitive, physical, social, and emotional parts of you. Steady pulse people make it a priority to keep their core capabilities sharp and intact. They choose action, not reaction.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?